We'll get back to insanity and hysteria here in Chicago about the Cubs in the World Series. But first, we go back to the hysteria and insanity of Selection 2016. And I think I'm overselling it by calling it a selection, because it's like you have a choice. You've got infriggin' sane versus probably least truthful of the people that we could possibly imagine running for president.
I think that's a lot of people do feel that.
Yeah. That's how I'm feeling. Mark McKinnon is from The Circus. You can see it on Showtime, greatest political show on earth. And I want to say this, Mark. Last week you were with us and you told us about this upcoming one called From Russia with Love, where you discuss the fact that so much of this, this election has been overshadowed in some respects by this looming presence of Vladimir Putin and WikiLeaks and, to what degree are those things related? And by the time I was done watching the show, I was like, it's October. It's like a scary movie, right?
Right.
It really felt that way. It was chilling to watch.
Oh, yeah. I think it was our best episode of all.
Of all time.
Last scene with Halpern in London stalking Julian Assange. So we had Halpern, in this scene at night. It was so cloak and dagger as he's trying to make contact with, as Mark says, think about this. He's trying to get to an Australian cyber terrorist working for an Icelandic organization holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in the United Kingdom, striking fear into the heart of the Democratic presidential candidate in the United States.
I know.
You can't make that up.
Yeah, unbelievable.
John Le Carré had nothing on this. Nothing. If you put this in front of John Le Carré, he would have gone
too much.
No,
yeah. Over the top.
Over the top.
Rewrite
it. Yeah.
And then that shadowy figure that you met outside the embassy, who you couldn't show, and you changed his voice.
I'll tell you something about that. So you should have seen that without us covering it up. I mean, we had to do that because he insisted. For his own security purposes. But you should have, what happened when that individual walked out and saw Halpern and Halpern saw him and they do this kind of stare down, it was so good. I mean, I wish we hadn't had to blur it out, because when it's not blurred out, it's even more
creepier.
Chilling.
Yeah. So let me just explain this. So Mark Halpern, one of the three reporters of this show, went to London. He's standing outside the Ecuadorian embassy. He's trying to get noticed so that Julian Assange, that's pressed down there, and maybe Julian Assange will talk to him, because he's done that before. He stuck his head out the window. He's done some other things,
right?
And so this is, and it's a pretty big show. And then people are coming up and asking him, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then finally, a guy comes up, asks him what he's doing, and appears to have access to Julian Assange, and then Mark Halpern passes a note to this guy to then take into the embassy and then bring back out. And there wasn't much. I mean, the thing is, it was a bit of the MacGuffin, as they would say, as Alfred Hitchcock would say, because the note itself, it wasn't very revealing. It was like, hey, what's made up in this? What are we under-reporting in this election? And it was like everything was Assange's.
Yeah.
We assume that was his answer. I don't know. Watching the whole thing in total, because then earlier in the episode, you had Roger Stone on, who is, any reasonable American would assume that Roger Stone is either insane or working for the Russian government. At the Russian tea room, he's meeting with John Heilemann, your other, other reporter, and they're getting drunk, and the more that, I think this is a very, very responsible editorial choice on your part. You were showing him drinking as opposed to not showing him drinking and then letting him get, so that the audience was along with the ride, that he was polishing off these martinis, because he was getting more wide-eyed and nuttier the conversation was going on. And this is one of Trump's advisors.
Yeah. Yeah, and I may have noticed at the beginning of the scene, Heilemann refers to him as Satan.
Right.
But he walks in with that, crazy kind of, 1900s
black
Russian hat and the sort of the monocle and the suit and the whole thing. The whole thing just came together. I thought it was.
And you're not making that up. You're not telling him, hey, go put on a hat and wear a monocle.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. No. And, the things he says are just jaw-dropping. The line that's just amazing is, he says, it's not over till we say it is.
Gee, he was like,
whoa. And then the next, you know, and then right after that, the, you know, half the internet goes out in the country. It's like, oh my God.
Well, he did. Now, he alluded to something. Now, that's true. And that actually did happen. And he alluded to something. Roger Stone did allude to something in the interview with you. Before he got to that, we don't say it's over till it is. And I thought it was quoting Animal House, but what do I know? I'm not that literate.
Very good.
That's what I took out of it, but who knows?
Lutarsky, yes.
Yeah, but I just don't know. He said, you know, there's another thing. He was basically dropping this hint that there is something ginormous coming.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, no, do we believe him?
Who knows? You know, I it's just impossible to know. And I don't know that they know. I mean, part of the thing that I determined about the whole WikiLeaks thing is that they do have a ton of stuff they're putting out, but it's a little, it's not entirely strategic. It's chaotic. They kind of just dump out information. So I'm not even sure they even know all what's in it, you know?
Right.
So,
that's
but
true.
I'll tell you the other thing, the other thing we did learn, and we couldn't get it all on the show, but we, I felt good about the show, not only in it being entertaining and compelling television, but I think that the viewers and I certainly learned a ton of important stuff about, you know, something that is impacting and could even, you know, have a greater impact on this election. This whole WikiLeaks thing is very interesting and concerning and dangerous. But one of the things that we absolutely learned, and there's no equivocation about, it's the Russians. I mean, there is no doubt about that. And I wish that we'd been able to get that in there because there's still some stuff on the internet about it. So it's like, oh, how do you know the Russians? It's the Russians.
Well, you basically have one of Trump's guys acknowledging that it's the Russians.
Yeah, well, we went to a bunch of, like, the ultimate experts in the field, and they just, I mean, they kind of walk you through it. And it's quite clear that there's just now, it's not clear that there's necessarily collusion or actual conversations going on between Assange and the Russians. But, I mean, Assange has just put up a Dropbox, and the Russians are just dumping their stuff in there is what's happening.
One of the things you also do that I thought was so great is you shine a light on who Julian Assange is and bring us, you had that great interview with the guy who works at BuzzFeed now and in the UK, and he knows him well, and he talks about some of his motivations. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. He's an anarchist. I mean, this is the thing that we need to understand this, that what he's doing right now, what Julian Assange is doing to try to help Donald Trump is really not about helping Donald Trump. It is not helping the United States or even creating trouble for the United States politically. What he is trying to do is create chaos in the United States. And then when such time comes, if Donald Trump should win, he becomes the target, would be my guess.
Well, he is, you're right. I mean, it's all about disruption. And that's absolutely what the Russians are, you know, they just want to disrupt our system. And Assange, as you learn from his history, I mean, he's holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy because he's under threat of extradition and indictment, first by Sweden and then by the United States, Sweden on a rape charge, and the United States for espionage and revealing, you know, the State Department WikiLeaks. So it's just this amazing history and goes back to, you know, his stepfather when he was growing up in Australia, who like led a cult. I mean, it really is out of a Le Carre book, for sure.
Oh, my God.
It is. And Roger,
unfortunately, it's real. And it really could, and it has already in many ways disrupted our process and system. So it's frightening, really.
And in 13 days, we're going to elect a new president.
Yes, we are. Thank God.
Right. I almost
don't say that so soon.
I want the election to be over, but I don't in some way because I want the circus to continue. Does it continue after? I mean, is there any way for you to cover politics in this way?
Showtime loves the franchise, and we've had some meetings about, you know, do we do the first 100 days of the administration or something like that? I'm kind of one and done, so I'm ready for a long break, but you're right. The circus will continue. It's just a question of whether Showtime will continue to follow it.
I see.
Oh, man. All right. What's coming up this week?
It looks like I think there's going to be a strong focus on Joe Biden. He's just an interesting character. We got a ton of time with him. You know, he's got a lot of perspective as a guy who wanted to run, did run a couple of times, didn't run this time, knows a lot of these characters, just has a lot of insights. It's, you know, sort of a, you know, a bit of an exit interview with Joe Biden that will be fun and very circus-like.
Do you have a sense? I mean, this is another thing. We were just talking about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe Biden it basically challenging Donald Trump out to the bike racks at 3:30, right?
Very,
right after
very
school.
Mature.
Right, I'll beat. Yeah. Let's go behind the gym. 3:30.
And you know what? That'd be the great way to end this campaign, right?
Fist fight between those two.
Biden and Trump, out on the playground. Just go at it.
Pulling hair. I stop and I think, oh my God, what has happened to my country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got to think that, Mark. I mean, given your experience, you know, in and around the, you know, the very establishment, regular Republicans, as I would like to say right now, and people who, you know, had incredible resumes and did, a lot of government service in the Bush line, especially. Mm-hmm. And you stop and you think about their respect for structure and their respect for governance and all of that. And now here we find ourselves, man. I mean, it is like, I don't know how we come back from this. Because, I mean, Hillary is really damaged goods if she wins. And he's, God knows what will happen.
Yeah. Well, that's what's concerning and disconcerting for everyone, including and especially Republicans and all the Bush Republicans, as you said, is that we do care about the country. We do care about kind of order to governance, and there's just not a lot of good scenarios out there. I mean, the election's been bad enough. I'm worried a lot about what comes after.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's true. Well, hopefully the Cubs win the World Series, then the earth opens up, swallows the rest of us, and we don't have to worry about it.
Ready for that.
So, yeah, man. What a nice counterpoint the Cubs are to all of this.
We're trying to keep our mind on it right now. It didn't go so well in Cleveland last night. Cleveland's been very bad for me all year. I just want to point that out. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, man.
All right. See you later. Kick it hard.
Thank you. You too. All right. Watch the circus on Showtime.
Especially this episode. If you want to start from the end, the last one first.
Susan Berkus has the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.